The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 14, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 29th, 2014, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aham Pura Bharata Nama Raja Vimukta Drishta Shrita Sangha Bandha Adhadanam Bhagavata Ihamana Mriga Abhavam Mriga Sangat Hatta Artha Aham Pura Bharata Nama Raja Vimukta Jishta Shruta Sangha Bandha Aradhanam Bhagavata Ihyamano Mrigo Bhavang Mriga Sangat Dattartha Aham Pura Bharata Nama Raja Vimukta Drishta Shruta Sangha Bandha Aradhanam Bhagavata Ihamano Mrigo Bhavang Mriga Sangat Dattartha Aham, I, Mpura, formerly, in my previous birth, Bharatanama, Raja, a king named Maharaj Bharata, Vimukta, liberated from, Drishtashrita, by experiencing personally through direct association or by getting knowledge from the Vedas. Sangha Bandha, bondage by association. Aradhanam, the worship. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva, Ihamana, always performing, Mriga Abhavam, I became a deer, Mriga Sangat, because of my intimate association with a deer, Hatta Artha, having neglected the regulated principles. In the discharge of devotional service. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In a previous birth, I was known as Maharaj Bharata. I attained perfection by becoming completely detached from material activities through direct experience. And through indirect experience, I received understanding from the Vedas. I was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, but due to my misfortune, I became very affectionate to a small deer, so much so that I neglected my spiritual duties. Due to my deep affection for the deer, in my next life, I had to accept the body of a deer. Purport Bashir Baba. The incident herein described is very significant. In a previous verse, it is stated, Vina Mahat Padarajo Bishekam. One cannot attain perfection without smearing the dust from the lotus feet of an exalted devotee on his head. If one always follows the orders of the spiritual master, there is no question of falling down. As soon as a foolish disciple tries to overtake his spiritual master and becomes ambitious to occupy his post, he immediately falls down. Yasha prasadam bhagavat prasado. Yasha prasadam nagati kutopi. If the spiritual master is considered an ordinary man, the disciple surely loses his chance to advance further. Despite a very rigid life in devotional service, Bharat Maharaj did not consult a spiritual master when he became overly attached to a deer. Consequently, he became strongly attached to the deer, and forgetting his spiritual routine, he fell down. So, Srila Prabhupada is making the very poignant point that you have to have a spiritual master. You may be a very, very advanced transcendentalist, but if one is not solidly fixed up under the lotus feet of the spiritual master, he's in a very dangerous position. Very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example in this connection. There are two types of dogs. There are dogs that have masters, sannatta. And there are dogs that do not have masters, anatta. Now here in India we have very graphic experience of this. Here in Vrindavan town we see so many dogs without masters. Do they look very nicely situated, very happy, jolly dogs? No, they're very lean, thin, paranoid dogs with wounds all over their bodies, their hair falling out, pitiable walking skeletons. But go to Juhu Beach and see the dogs walking with their masters. They're stout, strong, jolly dogs. Isn't it? You've seen on Juhu Beach, those dogs are very jolly dogs, you see. So that is the difference, you see. With a master and without a master. It is very, very essential that we have a spiritual master. When I first came around this movement, I was very proud. I was thinking, I don't need a spiritual master. I'll just be Krishna conscious. I don't need to be a disciple. I was writing songs and singing. And George Harrison had just come out with My Sweet Lord. And hey, I'll just do what George did. I'll write songs about Krishna. And that way I'll do my own thing. Devotee said, you should move into the temple, become a brahmachari, become a disciple. Oh, no, no. I'll just play my guitar and sing about Krishna. That's my idea. Even the devotees invited me, so I went and lived in the temple, not to join, but just to see what I could learn. But I was very stubborn. No, I don't need a spiritual master. I'll just be Krishna conscious. I'll be a devotee of Krishna, but I don't need a guru. So the devotees showed me, they said, actually they called me Steve Prabhu because I had done 10 BTGs one day. I got a title, Prabhu. Steve Prabhu. Look here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you have to have a spiritual master. Well, I couldn't say anything, but was I going to do it? No way. There was one thing we had to do, going along with all the temple programs, there was one thing we had to do, and that was, you know, when you go down to the temple room, you bow down, you see these long, long Sanskrit prayers. I mean, for a Texan, that's a pretty big stretch of the brain, you know. So I said, well, I know what I'll do. I took a ballpoint pen and wrote it down, you know, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna. I put the pranam mantras here on my hand. So Vishnu John Swami, he looked at it. He looked at that. He noticed I had an empty space at the bottom of my hand. He said, now you add this to your hand. I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. Well, they were trying to convince me, you see, that I had to become a disciple, not just a devotee. You can't be a devotee unless you're a disciple. That's what they were trying to beat into my dull brain, you see. But I was a holdout. I was a real holdout. Shishi Gornitai Kija. But a most wonderful thing happened. Actually, our devotees in London, working with George Harrison, had made this beautiful album that we sing, we relish every morning, Govindam Madhi Purusham. And, of course, that hadn't been introduced into ISKCON yet, but we were out on Harinam one day, and somebody from a radio station, they got a promotional copy from Alfred Records. They didn't want to play it, but they saw us on the street. They said, let's give it to those Hare Krishnas. They'll probably like it. They handed us the Radha Krishna Temple album. Wow! The Beatles, George Harrison. Oh, we were in ecstasy. Took our little, you know, record player. We were playing that thing again and again and again. That record was so enlivening. So anyway, my service in the morning was to vacuum the temple room rug. And one morning I was doing my morning service, vacuuming the temple room rug, and I was hearing the second cut on that album. You may know that second cut. Samsara dava nalalita loka tranaya kar yunyagana ganadvam braptasya kalyana gunana vasya vandigodo shri jadanada vintam. So I was hearing that. I was going, wow, those devotees, they really feel something for Prabhupada. I was just amazed that you could hear the, you know, in a song you can tap into the emotions of the singer, isn't it? And I was completely overawed by the emotions of love the devotees had for Srila Prabhupada. And I was thinking, I've never tasted anything in my whole life. I have never tasted love like this. This is real love. You see. And I was thinking, the thought just came zapping into my brain, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? And the tears just came streaming down my face, and that was it. Prabhupada entered my heart, and that was it. I'm ready. When can I get initiated? You see. Prabhupada's mercy ki jai. So, I had never seen Prabhupada. You see? Devotees now, they say, well, I've never met Prabhupada. How can I get the advantage you Prabhupada disciples got? I had never seen him either. I had turned down so many opportunities to meet him. Our Mukhanlal Das, who's now Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj, he tried to convince me to come hear Prabhupada at a program in Berkeley back in 69. He didn't go. I wouldn't go because I was a Mayavad. You know, I'm Krishna, we're all Krishna. But now, because I had been so much beaten down, Maya Devi was very kind to me. She tortured me in many ways to convince me that I could not become happy in this material world. And by the mercy of the devotees and the mercy of the devotees in London who made such a wonderful, wonderful recording, I got this idea that giving my heart to Prabhupada would be the perfection of my existence. So this is actually a fact. We have to, that personal aspect is so important thing, you see, the personal aspect. The impersonalists, they want to just become God. They think they can just merge and become the Supreme by doing tapa. But what is the result of so many millions of years of tapasya? Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayuratapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yat prapapachintya vachintya tatve govindam aripurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe whose lotus feet are approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands and millions of years. Now wait a minute, thousands and millions of years? That's a long time. That's many, many lifetimes. Thousands and millions of years. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains in his purport, they don't actually attain the lotus feet, they just get to the precincts of the lotus feet. They don't actually touch the lotus feet. You see. So what is the point of this impersonal sort of approach, or the yogi sort of approach? You don't really even get anything at the end. And even coming to that position of Brahman realization, you see, Aruya Krishna Parang Padam Vada Patanti Yato. In this way they fall down again. Patanti means they fall. So this principle of Guru is a very important principle here, you see. But the spiritual master has to be genuine also, you see. The spiritual master is not genuine. Not only does he not help the disciple to go back to Godhead, he actually hinders that disciple on his pathway back to Godhead. Guru nasasyat svajano nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat, daivang nasasyat tapatishtasyan, namochi adyasama pritamritjum. One should not take the position of guru unless he can deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. And along with guru, what also should you not be? You shouldn't be a father, a mother, a relative, a leader, a worshipable demigod. One should not take any position of leadership unless he is able to deliver his dependence. Say, well, how could I get married? I mean, how could I become a mother? One could ask. How could I become a guru? Actually, in this purport, Prabhupada explains that unless you're a pure devotee, you should not take any of these positions. Wow. What's my hope then? Pure devotee? Well, the pure devotee can also be understood as someone who is strictly following the pure devotee. He may not have seen Krishna. He may not be an Uttama Adhikari, you see. But someone who is strictly following the order of the spiritual master, someone who is strictly following Srila Prabhupada, you see, they are considered pure devotees. Prabhupada one time said in Golden Gate Park, he said, Swamiji, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? So, just being an ISKCON doesn't mean you're a pure devotee. But if you strictly follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then you're considered pure. Even if you have lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion in your heart, if you're strictly following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada to the best of your ability, you're considered a pure devotee who is qualified to go back to Godhead. So even I'm not seeing Krishna face to face, you see, I can act as a guru or a father or a mother or a temple president or a Sankirtan leader, you see. But an interesting point, this connection. Srila Prabhupada says that strict adherence to the order of the spiritual master is the same as seeing Krishna. It's the same thing. Sometimes people ask me, they say, well, have you seen Krishna? I simply explain this. I am seeing Krishna in the form of the order of my spiritual master to spread this Krishna conscious movement. That Krishna I am seeing. I may not see Shama Sundar within my heart, you see. I'm not there yet. He's there, but I'm still covered. You see. But I am seeing the order of my spiritual master to spread this Krishna consciousness movement as much as possible until my last dying breath, you see. So in that way, you see, if we have that dedication to the orders that Prabhupada has given us, you see, then we are considered pure. Then we can act as guru or mother or father or teacher, leader, you see. Then we can do it. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, then we can take some leadership position, even though we know we are not qualified. Simply act as a humble representative of our wonderful Srila Prabhupada, and the great spiritual master, the greatest spiritual master in the history of Kali Yuga, for delivering all the fallen souls back to home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is going even beyond what Lord Chaitanya did. Lord Chaitanya only spread the Sankirtan movement here in India. But Srila Prabhupada, he has spread it all over the world. Just see. Just see the amazing potency of Srila Prabhupada. And just consider how fortunate we are to have such lotus feet that we can take shelter of. By the way, we are at Radhakunda, and we are reading from the Nectar of Instruction how one should reside at Radhakunda. Listen. Of course, we know also that Prabhupada, when devotees left the Krishna Balaram temple, live at Radhakunda, Prabhupada, they are not living in Radhakunda, they are living in Narakunda. So how you can, when spies are living at Radhakunda, how we can live at Radhakunda? We have our duties at this temple, that temple. How we can follow the order to live in Radhakunda? It's very simple. All the holy places of pilgrimage are there within Prabhupada's lotus feet. So if you stick to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, you're living in Vrindavan, you're living in Radhakunda. All the holy places are there in the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Simply stick to these orders of Prabhupada. Now Prabhupada told us that we should read all of his books so we will fall down. It's there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So one time I was giving a class to about 300 brahmacharis, and I said, how many of you read all of Prabhupada's books? Raise your hand. And you know how many hands went up out of 300 brahmacharis? One hand went up. There was only two of us in the room. Myself, I had read all of the books. And only one brahmachari out of 300 had read all the books. So I'm asking you all, brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, everyone, let us do our duty and carefully read these books. Because otherwise, if we're not connected with these books, how are we connected with Prabhupada? You see what I'm saying? It's not the buildings. The buildings don't connect us with Prabhupada. It's the instructions of Srila Prabhupada that connect us with Srila Prabhupada. You see? So we have to scrutinizingly study these books, go deep, deep, deep into the writings of Srila Prabhupada. Try to understand from this angle of vision, from that angle of vision. There's so many. This is transcendental knowledge. It's not mundane academics. Sometimes things appear contradictory because they are transcendental. We were reading a purport the other day at one of the holy places. We were reading from Bhagavatam purport. Prabhupada was explaining that there are people wandering in Vrindavan and desiring to see Krishna. And even though they don't see Krishna, their intense desire to see Krishna is as good as seeing Krishna. And then Prabhupada turns around and says, they're seeing Krishna at every minute. He says, this cannot be understood philosophically, but it can be understood, it can be realized. So there's all kinds of amazing things in the books, you see. How is it possible? It's described that Goswamis are wandering about Vrindavan. Hey Radhe Rajade Vikecha Chalarite He Nandasunukutaha. Where are you, Radharani? Where are you, O Krishna? Are you on Govardhan? Are you in the groves on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And it's described how they're not seeing Krishna and they're hankering to see Krishna, but yet Brahma Samhita says such pure devotees see Krishna at every minute. So which one is it? One could ask. The answer is it's both. Is it logical? No. But it's realized by those who come to that platform of Krishna consciousness. So there's so many amazing things that empower us to be Krishna conscious. You see, our whole purpose of being here is to become Krishna conscious, not I have some big position. No. Some devotees are very, I've seen some devotees who are more interested in a position than they were becoming Krishna conscious. One godbrother, well, he became Tamil president, then he became GBC, and then he became Bloopy. You see. He was more interested in position. He really wanted to have a GBC post, and he got it. But after he got it, he wasn't satisfied, you see. So don't come to this movement for some position, for some prestige. Come to this movement for one thing and one thing only, and that is to develop pure love of God, you see. And you'll never be disappointed. You can take any position in this movement, you see. If your only desire is, I want to develop pure love for Krishna, you see. Make that your only business. Kick everything else out. You're not welcome. Desire for power, get out. Desire for prestige, get out. Desire for women, get out. Desire for money, get out. You're kicked out. Get out, get out, get out. Even the desire for liberation is rejected by the pure devotee. And Prabhupada explains very interestingly in his purport to Bhagavad Gita 8:15 that the realized devotees, they have no desire to go to any material planet. Yeah, that's pretty easy to understand. Nor they have any desire to go to any spiritual planet. They have one desire and one desire only, and that is to have the association of Krishna. You may say, well, how can they get the association of Krishna if they don't go back to us to the Godhead? Well, you think Krishna is limited? That he can only be manifest to his devotees in the spiritual world? No. The pure devotee, he can directly associate with Krishna right here in this world, you see. Krishna is omnipresent. And he is fully manifest to each devotee according to his degree of awakening of his Krishna consciousness. If you're slightly awakened in Krishna consciousness, you'll slightly get Krishna's association. If you're fully awakened in Krishna consciousness, you will get Krishna's complete, total association at every minute. So how much association do you want, Prabhu? How much association do you want, Mataji? You see, you can choose your own amount of association you want with Krishna. How much do you want to be connected with the Lord? It's your choice. Everyone makes our own choice by how we think, how we speak, and how we act. So if you read Prabhupada's books, you will get the intelligence and the understanding how to mold your thoughts, your words, and your deeds in such a way that you can be powerfully, intimately, totally enwrapped in Krishna consciousness at every minute. So these books empower us to do that. We are directly associating with His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, as soon as we start reading His books. And the more we distribute them also, it makes it even more powerful, because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. Therefore, we should read the books, we should distribute the books, we should understand who is Krishna, and we should explain to everybody we meet who is Krishna, according to their level of acceptance, our readiness to hear the message. So in this way, if we take full advantage of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will be swimming in ecstasy every minute, tasting the sweetest nectar. Madhuram, madhuram, vaparashya vibhor. Madhuram, madhuram, valadang mahuram. Madhugandhi mrinusmita metat aho. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. The transcendental body of Krishna, oh, it's very sweet. But His face is sweeter still. But His soft, honey-scented smile is the ultimate sweetness, thrill. So take advantage of Krishna. He wants you to take advantage of Him. by taking him into your heart and embracing him as your life and soul. Take Krishna deep, deep, deep into your heart and tightly embrace him and never let go. This is Krishna consciousness. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Written questions are preferred. Some paper and pen are here, because I don't hear so well. There's a written question there. Someone's holding, pass that paper up. Okay. Why should a disciple follow the orders of his spiritual master in this life and after this life? As we read in the purport today, by pleasing the spiritual master, when Krishna is pleased. It's also confirmed in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta te janaha, mad bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. O Sanaprita, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, following the order of the spiritual master, that means devoted to the spiritual master. You say, I'm devoted to you, Gurudev, but I don't follow your instruction. Is that possible? I'm really devoted to you, Guru Maharaj, but I don't ever do what you say. No. Your devotion for your spiritual master is seen by how much you are obedient to following his instructions. That's your devotion. So Krishna has ordered, unless you are in this way obedient to my servant, you're nowhere as far as I'm concerned. You're not my devotee. You're not my disciple. You're not Krishna, my Krishna devotee. You see, it's Krishna's instruction. So this is why we should do it, because Krishna has ordered us. In what case should we neglect our spiritual master? Well, if he's bogus, if he turns out to be a bogus, unfortunately it's happened too many times in ISKCON. The guru turned out to be a bogus. He couldn't even deliver himself, you see. It's unfortunate, but it's not unprecedented in Vedic history. If you know the story of Bali Maharaj, he's one of the 12 great Mahajanas. How did he become a great Mahajana? By rejecting his spiritual master. Whoa, he rejected his spiritual master? Yes. By rejecting his spiritual master to serve Vamanadeva, he became one of the 12 great Mahajanas. So, if your guru, Prabhupada actually explains how if the disciple is very powerful, he can take his spiritual master back to Godhead. So if your spiritual master falls down, try to remember all the help he gave you when he was powerful in Krishna consciousness, and now you try to save him. If you're not able to associate with him and preach to him, at least pray for his benefit, you see. Because he helped you in so many ways, now he has fallen, now you try to help him, you see. It's a loving reciprocation. Next question. In the purport, it is said that King Bharat should have consulted his spiritual master, but he was in the forest. How could he have contacted his spiritual master? He certainly didn't have a mobile phone, I'm sure. Give him a call. Guru Maharaj, I got this deer here. What should I do? You didn't have the internet. You know, log into his laptop and send an email to Guru Maharaj. He didn't have them. If he had actually been sincere, he could have certainly gone out of the forest to meet his spiritual master. Meeting the spiritual master doesn't mean you're leaving the forest. Spiritual master means consulting your spiritual master means remaining in the forest of renunciation. We should not criticize, but sometimes we must report to the leaders what's going on. So what's the difference between reporting and criticizing? It's the motive. If you have a holier-than-thou attitude that, yeah, I'm great, and all these other devotees are a bunch of jerks, they don't have any love for Krishna, they don't appreciate how advanced I am in Krishna consciousness, then your criticisms will be polluted with egotism. But if you're sincerely trying to help this movement, you see, I'll give you an example. Prabhupada, on a morning walk here in Vrindavan with Akshayananda Maharaj, said devotees should not wear the deity Brahman thread prasadam around their wrist. But many devotees do this because they didn't read that instruction in the Vedabase. So if I say, oh, devotees, Prabhupada said not to do this, then nobody should, you know, take your Brahman thread around your wrist and cut it off. Prabhupada said it should not be done. Is that a bad thing that I'm doing? I'm being critical? No, I'm just trying to serve Prabhupada's mission because he said this should not be done. if you don't, you can send. I'll send you a copy of the conversation. Send me an email to sda@backtohome.com. I'll send you a copy of that conversation where Prabhupada said it should not be done. No devotee should wear Brahman thread prasadam around their wrist. So am I being critical by making a point of that? No, I'm just trying to serve Prabhupada's mission. Sometimes people tell me when I do these things, they say, why don't you mind your own business, Prabhu? Well, it is my business. I'm a disciple of Prabhupada, and I want to see his instructions followed. I'm leaving my body today or tomorrow. I'm an old man now. I want to see that the next 10,000 years, devotees in ISKCON are following Prabhupada. So is that some negative thing? No, it's my service to my spiritual master. I want to see that his instructions are being followed. That's all. Many thanks. It was a very enthusing discourse. Well, that's Prabhupada's mercy, in spite of this croaking toad sitting up here. You said that one must never aspire for any position or desire something here in ISKCON. What is this thing that keeps coming to this mind, misdirect us? What should we do in that case? See if I can make out the missing words here. You said that one must never aspire for any position or desire something here in ISKCON. What is this thing keeps coming and tries to misdirect it? Actually, if one has a desire to be a leader, there's nothing wrong. If you do it if you're in the right mood, you see, there's nothing wrong if one has a desire to serve in the desire to serve in a certain way. But it has to be the proper mood. I'm understanding. I'm not really qualified, but I feel that's for any position in the society. But I feel that that position would very much help me to become Krishna conscious and would help me to be more effective in preaching. You see, if one can desire in that way, some position. What type of relationship is this of the spiritual master and the disciple? Is it a relation of a spiritual teacher and a student, or a parent and children and friends guiding how to advance in Krishna consciousness? Well, the spiritual master is the most powerful position. Spirit of guiding someone back to Godhead. Everyone is meant to act as a spiritual master by instructing others in the science of Krishna. But the one who actually gives initiation, he's taking the karma. He's taking the commitment that I will take birth after birth if necessary to deliver this person back to Godhead. So the initiating guru is the very powerful position. He's taking the biggest karmic risk, biggest responsibility. How can I know if I'm acting to the best of my capability? Well, I can tell you right now, you're not. None of us are. If you have any doubt about it, you're not. You're capable of a lot more than you're doing right now. I'm saying that to myself also. All of us are capable of doing a lot more, much more qualitative chanting, much more qualitative hearing, much more qualitative preaching, much more qualitative service than we're doing now. And if you stay in this process, 10 years from now, you'll go along and say, yeah, that's true. You see, if you stick with this process, you'll be amazed at how the ability to hear about Krishna, the ability to talk about Krishna, the ability to lovingly serve Krishna just keeps getting better and better and better and better with each decade. Also, can you please light again on the point, seeing Krishna while not seeing Krishna? It's a very interesting point, right there in that purport. It's not something we can explain philosophically, nor have I experienced it. Srila Prabhupada talks about it. But if you consider, again, as I was saying, how the Goswamis are always, they prefer the mood of not seeing Krishna. You see. That is sweeter. Just like it's like there used to be a pop song when I was a kid growing up. That's all I knew in the old days, was listening to the radio, Top 40, when I was a kid. We didn't know, but Prabhupada hadn't come yet. And all we knew was the Top 40 during the summer. That's all we did, was listen to the Top 40. There was one song where aimed towards, you know, high school students. The girlfriend went away for the summer, and now for the whole summer he has to go without his girlfriend, but he's writing a letter every day and he's sealing it with a kiss, you know. He's in the intensity of love, being separated from his beloved, is stronger than when he's actually with her, you see. Those love letters are much more intense and passionate than whatever they said when they were talking to each other face to face. So that's of course a mundane example, but it's true also in the spiritual sense. To be separated from Krishna and hanker, when will I see Krishna? When will I see Krishna? When will I see Krishna? You see, that intensity of love and the desire to see one's beloved is actually more ecstatic than actually seeing him. So therefore, even the Goswamis, they're fully qualified to see Krishna every minute. They like to see him in this way of not seeing him and hankering to see him. That's how they prefer to see him. So for us neophyte devotees who can't see Krishna yet, this is great. We can desire to see Krishna. Of course, Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati said, don't try to desire to see Krishna. Try to act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. You see, because that's when you will see him. But there's also an example I gave the other day. There's one thief. Such a nice example. Not all of you were here the other day, so I may be repeating it for some of you. But it's a very nice story given by Prabhupada. There was one thief, pickpocket. Just like the signs, I don't know if we have a sign here, but on the Juhu temple there's a sign, beware of pickpockets. So anyway, he was coming to the Bhagavatam class to see if he could pick a pocket. But he heard the Bhagavatam speaker, he was saying that in Vrindavan there's this boy named Krishna, a little boy wandering all alone, loaded with valuable jewels, and the thief's ears perked up. Oh, a little boy in the forest, wandering all alone, loaded with valuable jewels. I will go there and I will get those jewels and I'll become millionaire overnight, Prabhupada said. So he heads out across India. You know, there was no Air India, no India Railways, no Jet Airways, no bicycles. He just headed out on foot across India. You see, oh, I will go to Vrindavan, I will find that boy and I'll become very wealthy. So finally he came to Vrindavan. He was wandering all over the huge area, you see. Wandering here, wandering there. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And you know, Krishna is so kind, he actually revealed himself to that thief. And sure enough, as soon as he saw Krishna, he said, oh Krishna, you have so many valuable jewels. Can you give me some? He says, no, 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 no. Mother just thought that she would scold me. He said, but he was so much purified by seeing Krishna that he forgot all of his... He became a pure devotee. Within a minute, he became a pure devotee and Krishna said, now you can take whatever you like. So this lecture, Prabhupada is encouraging this desire to want to see Krishna. It's encouraging us in this one lecture. Desire to see Krishna. He quotes this very nice verse from Rupa Goswami. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadikato palamyate Tattada lang api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya na labhyate. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. What is that in English? Anybody know the translation? Krishna consciousness. This is where Prabhupada got the term Krishna consciousness from. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita. Krishna, the mood of tasting the sweet flavor of devotional service to Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami, I mean to say, explains that you cannot achieve this rarest gem of Krishna bhakti by executing pious activities in hundreds of millions of lives. It can be achieved only by paying one price, and that is lalyam, intense greed to attain it. Therefore, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So here in ISKCON, it's fully available. Let me see. Srila Prabhupada is giving it out. It's for the, what is the price? Lalyam, eagerness. If you are very eager to get Krishna bhakti, Prabhupada will give it to you. You have to be very, very eager that I want pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada will give it to you. You see. So in this way, try to understand the science and make your life perfect. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.